The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'll bet it's going to be a problem. I know you've probably heard the story of Jontay Porter by now. He's the NBA player who got caught betting on games and was banned, probably for life. I mentioned it at the end of the show here yesterday. But the stupidity here is mind-boggling. This guy placed bets that would have won him $22,000. Now, he's not a super-duper star making super-duper money, but he was making over $1 million a year, and he threw it all away for a chance to win $22,000, which is about what he makes in a week. And Jontay is exactly the kind of player who's going to be a problem. Russell Wilson will make $39 million this year playing for the Steelers. Chances are pretty good he's not going to risk a dollar on making a bet that could win him $1 million. But there might be a guy this fall who's a rookie making minimum salary, which is pretty good at something around $500,000 a year. And maybe he's just hanging on and can't really count on making life-changing money. And maybe he plays a position that could allow him to make a difference in the outcome of the game. But here's the problem. Jontay made some over-under bets on the number of points that he might score in a game and then said he was sick and left the game early. That's a lot different from trying to do whatever he can to shave total points off the game. Now, before gambling became legal, and before the leagues partnered up with the gambling platforms, a guy might be tempted to fix the game and hope that he could do enough to affect the amount of points that were scored by one team or the other. But now, it's legal to place bets on how many strikeouts a pitcher's going to get in a game. That pitcher could bet the under, whatever that total would be, and then be in total control of whether or not he finishes under and gets paid off. Maybe you could bet the over-under on the number of points a kicker will get in a game. The guy snapping the ball or holding the ball could place a bet and have a direct effect on the outcome. And do you really think that Jontay Porter is the only guy in the NBA who's bet on NBA games? And, of course, the other problem here is the fans, who used to be 100% about wanting their team to win. They're now going to be rooting for Steph Curry to be held under a certain number of threes in a game if they place the bet for an under. So then they might be actually rooting against their home team. That changes the dynamic and the relationship between fans and their team. And fans will be expressing, they already are actually, fans are going to be expressing their displeasure during a game for things that have nothing to do with who's winning or losing, but everything to do with somebody's or everybody's over-under bet. It's not good, and it's not going to, and it is going to get worse. And when we come back, Mike Johnson is beginning to seem worse than Kevin McCarthy. What's up with that? And in our second half hour, a big, tough guy movie star has gone woke, and he's doubling down after taking a lot of heat. They never learn. Stick around. Hey, maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene is the smart one. Liberals hate her, of course. Lots of Republicans would tell you that she's a flame-throwing bimbo who's destroying the Republican Party. That's what the media think of him, but if you ask John Daniel Davidson, senior editor at The Federalist, he might tell you it's Mike Johnson who's doing that. He joins us now. John, thanks for coming on again. I always appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is Marjorie Taylor Greene one of the few real conservative Republicans left now?
I think she's one of the few principled ones. I mean, when you look at the Republican leadership, and especially Speaker Johnson, clearly his priority is enacting Biden's agenda. That's what he's doing right now, and that's what he's willing to go to the mat for. So all of the fancy things that he said and all of his tough talk going back months and months, even before he was Speaker and right after he became Speaker, about not funding Ukraine and not sending money overseas until we secure the border, that's just all out the window. I guess he was just lying. But he clearly is a tool of the Washington Uniparty, and his main objective as Speaker is to enact Biden's agenda. So I don't really see the point of having a Republican Speaker if it's going to be like that.
Yeah, the headline of your piece at the Federalist today is, if the GOP loses its House majority, it's Speaker Johnson's fault. Who would have thought that a couple of months ago?
Yeah, well, a couple of months ago, he was saying the things that he knows Republican voters want to hear. He was repeating what Republican voters have consistently said that they want from the Republican majority in Congress. But I guess he didn't mean any of that. And he doesn't really care what Republican voters want. He cares what Chuck Schumer wants and what Biden wants and what Mitch McConnell wants and what the, establishment neocon GOP members in the House leadership want. And that's what he's gone about doing. So, I'm not sure if, securing the border is off the table and impeaching Joe Biden is off the table and everything else that Republicans want to do is off the table, then what's the point, of continuing to do business this way? I really don't see a point in having a Republican majority. This isn't really a Republican majority. This is a uniparty establishment majority and a uniparty establishment speaker.
What do you suppose got him to cave on Ukraine? I mean, it's a gigantic cave. I heard a clip from him. I think it was from yesterday, maybe today. He now believes Putin can't wait to move on Europe. It's going to be the blitzkrieg all over again. Germany sweeping into Europe.
Yeah, it's an idiotic thing to say now, more than 2 years into this war. It was a disingenuous and highly suspect claim to make 2 years ago when the war first started. But now, after everything we've seen in Ukraine and we've seen how the Russian military has performed, they can barely secure the parts of eastern Ukraine that they claim to have annexed. It's absolutely preposterous to make the argument that Putin is going to march on Europe. The Russian military has no ability to secure even the gains that they've made in Ukraine, let alone march on Poland or, march through other NATO member nations. It's preposterous, totally disingenuous, and something only a liar or a fool would say. Here's the GOP Speaker of the House spouting this nonsense in front of the cameras like he's a genius.
And without a hint of embarrassment, it's almost like he's saying it as though, well, what did you expect? This is what was going to happen. Were you actually paying attention to what I was saying?
Right. I don't know if someone got to him somehow.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
If he's just a weak person, if he's easily manipulated, or if the idea of the media saying mean things about him is more than he can handle. If that's the case, he never should have taken the job in the first place. It's not like this was going to be an easy job to be speaker of a very narrow Republican majority in a very divided country with an extremely hostile press. But he knew that going in. Like that wasn't a secret, I mean, he became speaker out of the debacle of Kevin McCarthy's speakership, and yet he's managed to dwindle the Republican majority under his watch down to, after Friday, I guess, will be four seats. He's more than cut the Republican majority in half since he's been speaker. He came in with a nine seat majority. So he's been a disaster on every front. And I don't know why exactly he changed his tune so dramatically, but it must be some combination of weakness, intimidation, just being a sort of a spineless person, or the fact is that he was just lying all along, and he really never intended to enact Republican priorities in the first place.
How about just being a corrupt person? I know he's, his image is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's always possible. This is Washington. I don't want to level any accusations because I don't have any evidence that he is corrupt, but it's not like it's outside the realm of possibility, right? We're all adults, so we can imagine how, a Washington career politician could be corrupted. That's certainly one possibility. But it's not even, I was going to say earlier, it's not even a matter of enacting Republican priorities because, he had a very narrow majority. It's even narrower now. And so there's limit to what you can do. But he isn't even like extracting any costs from the Democrats. He's just enacting what they want. It's as though we have a Democrat majority in the House and in the Senate and not a divided House and Senate. There are things, you don't have to be a genius to think of ways that he could force votes and make things difficult for Democrats and force them to choose, right? Mm-hmm. They can't have everything they want, but in order to get Ukraine funding, they have to give something Republicans want, like border security. He hasn't even tried to do that, which makes me think that he was lying all along.
But what would be his, I know this is speculation, but what would be his motivation for lying about it? To get the speaker's job? And then a job that he obviously is not able to handle?
Well, I mean, maybe he thinks he can handle it. I mean, maybe he thinks he's handling it very well, and maybe he's doing what he intended to do from the beginning. And he was, being completely duplicitous just to get the job. And now that he has the job, his true colors are showing, which is that he is an establishment stooge, and he'll do whatever Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell tell him to do.
Well, what about the reaction from other Republicans who seem to be okay with it? Instead of them siding with Marjorie Taylor Greene, you see them on X and other places just making fun of her and saying she's trying to destroy the Republican Party. They're just as duplicitous because they were singing Mike Johnson's praises because he's the guy who's going to come in here and do the right thing, and he's going to do all the things that he said he was going to do, and he didn't do them.
Totally. Yeah, we're talking about Mike Johnson just because of the speaker, but yeah, the Republican Party itself, about half the Republican Party are just, worthless establishment stooges, and they are a controlled opposition, right, for the Uniparty. And to the extent that Marjorie Taylor Greene is quote unquote destroying the Republican Party, well, the Republican Party needs to be destroyed, and it needs, it would be better to have a coherent, unified Republican Party than this complicit, compromised, cowardly Republican Party that just enacts Democrat uniparty priorities every time they get in power. But there's a real problem with the Republican Party. About half of them are just willing to do whatever Democrats or whatever the Biden administration wants. They don't have any principles, and what they really, really, really don't care about is what Republican voters want. They don't care at all. And so, yes, the Republican Party in some ways is worse than the Democrat Party because they lie about what they're going to do to their voters, and then they do what the establishment wants. At least Democrats sort of are a little bit more honest with their voters.
Yeah. Could you imagine yourself saying that a couple of years ago? I don't know, put a number on the number of years ago, but maybe you've always been somebody who's been very suspicious of the courage of the Republican Party. But are you surprised that you're thinking that now?
Well, not after 2016. I think, Donald Trump's victory in 2016 in the GOP primary exposed this rot at the heart of the Republican Party. There was a really striking moment in one of those debates during the primary season, one of those GOP debates, where Donald Trump brought up the issue of the Iraq War. None of the other, 16 candidates wanted to talk about it because they didn't want to say anything bad about the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump forced the issue. And it turns out that what Trump thought about the Iraq War, that it was a huge mistake, is what most Republican voters thought about the Iraq War. But none of those establishment politicians wanted to say that. And that really exposed, for me and for a lot of other people, just how rotten the Republican Party was and how unresponsive to Republican voters they are. And that problem is still there. So, 2016 was a long time ago. Trump exposed this problem and made it really obvious for everyone, but the problem remains unresolved, and we're still kind of fighting this Republican civil war, and this disaster with Speaker Johnson is just another example of that war being played out.
We're talking to John Daniel Davidson, senior editor at The Federalist. He's also author of the book Pagan America: The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. So one of the things that was promised by Mike Johnson and others was that, listen, we're no more money for Ukraine until we take care of the border. The polls show that immigration is a huge issue. Being gutless is one thing, but caving on the funding for the border seems like political suicide. It should be for a Republican, you would think.
Yeah, and for Johnson, I hope it is. I mean, November is a long ways away still, in electoral terms, and a lot can change on the world stage. You know, there's politics is full of unknowns. But consistently, the border, especially under Biden, how bad it's gotten, and it's not getting any better, by the way. The fact that the corporate press decides not to cover it doesn't mean that the problem goes away. But it is a top priority and consistently has been a top priority for Republican voters. Funding this sort of war of attrition in Ukraine, where it's unclear what America's interest is and no one in power has articulated what victory would look like or what an off-ramp might be or even what our national interest is in the outcome of this conflict. They just sort of like proclaim these things about we have to stop Putin from marching across Europe that, half intelligent person can see is not a real argument. And then they go forward on that basis. So I don't totally understand the brazenness of Johnson's, 180 on this. Maybe he thinks that he can just get away with it and get away with sort of kicking the can down the road. But he was really, impassioned, just a few months ago about how it was necessary to secure the border before we started worrying about other countries' borders. And now that's all gone. I know he said something about getting a classified briefing, but that's not good enough. If he found out something in a classified briefing that has caused him to completely change his mind, he needs to come out and share that with the American people so that we know why he's made a 180 on this and what the real situation is and what's really at stake. Because otherwise, it just looks like he's lying.
Yeah. And speaking of the border, did the Republicans make a mess of the Mayorkas impeachment and turn that into a win for the Democrats?
Oh, I know. This is what I'm talking about not extracting any cost from Democrats. On the same day that the Senate, under Chuck Schumer, Senate Democrats decided to just completely ignore the articles of impeachment that the House delivered to the Senate and fail to even, go through the pro forma process of having an impeachment trial, something that they, of course, would never do with Trump or anyone in Trump's cabinet. On the same day, Speaker Johnson is just moving forward with Ukraine funding, which is what the Democrats want. That should have been an opportunity for him to say, if you don't take our impeachment of Mayorkas seriously, it means that you don't take our concerns about the border seriously because we impeached him over the border disaster. So hold a trial for Mayorkas or impeach him, and then we can talk about Ukraine funding. That's what I mean. But there's none of that. He has no spine for it. He has no appetite for it. And again, maybe it's because he doesn't really care.
Yeah, but it makes you think that he's been convinced that nothing matters more than Ukraine, because if we allow Ukraine to lose to the Russians, we're all doomed, because the Russians will be marching around in Poland and headed for France next. If you think that, it justifies everything, doesn't it? If you're convinced of that.
If that's what he's convinced of, and he found something out that convinced him of that and caused him to completely change his mind, he needs to share that with the American people.
Right.
We're all adults. This is supposed to be a republic of self-governing citizens. We have a right to know why hundreds of billions of our taxpayer dollars are being funneled into a grinding war of attrition that has no obvious connection to American interests and our own well-being here in America. So if he knows something that we don't know, that he found out that caused him to completely change his mind and put his entire political career on the line, then he needs to share it. He needs to share as much of it with the American people as he can. But he's not even trying to do that. Mm-hmm. He's just coming out and proclaiming like a drone these ridiculous Democrat talking points about why we need to fund Ukraine. And I'm sorry, but if that's how it's going to be, then he should lose his speakership And I don't really care what happens to the Republican conference and the Republican majority after that, because it can't get any worse than that. We might as well have a Democrat majority at this point. There's no difference.
I got less than a minute here, John, but how do you like the chances of Joe Biden being impeached right now?
Zero. There's zero chances that Joe Biden will ever be impeached with this kind of a Republican majority. Speaker Johnson losing his position would at least send a message that if you do this sort of thing, you will not be able to hold on to positions of power in the Republican Party. And that is the strongest case for Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate.
Hey, John, I always appreciate having you on. John Daniel Davidson, he's the author of Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. You can find him at thefederalist.com. Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, we'll be right back. Well, you may or may not have heard of a guy named Alan Ritchson, but he's a big-time star on a show called Reacher. And he's in a big movie coming out tomorrow that it's expected to be a big hit. And he's doing what he can to, I guess, reduce the number of people who pay to see that movie. Christian Toto of Hollywood and Toto.com is the author of Virtue Bombs, How Hollywood Got Woke and Lost Its Soul. Seems like a pretty good guy to talk to about this. He joins us now. Christian, thanks for coming on, as usual. Been a while since we talked.
Yeah, my pleasure. Glad to be back.
Yeah, so what's the movie, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, about, and what has Alan done to make sure fewer tickets are sold?
Yeah, the movie itself is very loosely based on a true story tied to World War II, where some people who were not exactly typical soldiers were fighting the Nazis. It feels like it's got a bit of a Inglourious Bastards vibe, where you're going to have a little bit of reimagining of what was going on in World War II. And I have to say, I was set to screen it and the power went out in the theater, so I wasn't able to catch it myself, but it is opening this weekend. And reviews are pretty good, 72% right now at Rotten Tomatoes. But the co-star here is Alan Ritchson. And like I said, he's in Reacher, and he seems like a rising star. Obviously, he's a big guy, muscle-bound, seems a little bit like a throwback to the 80s. And, you know, I think his no-nonsense Reacher character has really connected with a lot of viewers, and the show's a big hit on Amazon Prime. So it seems like everything's working in his favor at the moment. But by the same time, he's been making some interview statements that have been rather combustible, savagely attacking Donald Trump, attacking Christians for their support of Donald Trump, suggesting that cops get away with murder all the time, things like that. And it's amazing to me because, you know, he has a movie coming out. His star is on the rise. I think he's a talented fellow. Why would you say those things? Why would you kind of get so many people angry to the point where they may not see your movie? It is hard to believe.
The fact that anybody would not be aware, if they are aware of how divided the country is, it'd be one thing if you could make that statement and know that, well, you know, most people are going to agree with me. 90% of the people are on my side on this. But anytime you make a statement like that, you're gonna make 50% of the people who hear you upset and not like you anymore. And they haven't figured that out yet. You wrote a book about this.
They certainly haven't. Exactly. You know, they haven't figured it out yet, for the most part. I'm going to give an example in a minute where maybe some people are learning. But listen, I don't want him not to be able to speak, not to be able to to say what he wants to say. He has every right to do that. But, you know, the bottom line is that when you're an actor and you talk to the press, there's one goal, there's one mission. It's not because you want to have stuff you want to get off your chest. It's because you want to promote your movie. That's the job.
Yep.
That's why you go on with Stephen Colbert, and that's why you submit to magazine interviews. It's all about publicity and promotion, and that's perfectly fine. It's the game we all play within the system. That's just the way it's been done. And to be so cavalier about it, to be so blunt, and listen, you could say, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. He doesn't speak for me. That's perfectly fine. But, you know, he goes above and beyond that. And, you know, when you're famous in Hollywood, it's a tricky position because the fame could be gone tomorrow. I mean, it's a very fickle industry. He could have a couple of flops at the movie theaters and all of a sudden people aren't calling him anymore. That's just the way the industry works. I just don't know why he would say that and go there. It doesn't make much sense. It doesn't really work on his advantage. And, you know, the stars do it all the time.
And you would think that they, at some point, there's going to be, now you say you have an example of somebody who maybe has learned, but
yeah.
You think there'd be somebody out there who, and I'm not talking about just a somebody, a big somebody, who would say, hey, listen, I know you guys want me to talk about this stuff, but I'm here to talk about the movie. And, you know, I'll mm-hmm. someday maybe we'll have a political discussion, but I really want to see this movie do well. A lot of people worked really hard on it. They're paying me well. Lots of money have been spent on this. I really don't think it's a good idea for me to get into this discussion because I can't win. Wouldn't that be kind of an intelligent thing for somebody to say?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what Denzel Washington does. That's yep. what Dolly Parton has done for decades. I want to mention a recent example of the opposite, which is rare and refreshing, I'd say. Nick Offerman is the co-star of a new movie called Civil War. And I was on vacation. I wasn't able to screen it. I'm going to catch up with it this weekend. But it is about America fighting Americans. It's a dystopian movie. It's set a few years down the road. And Nick Offerman plays a president trying to deal with what's going on in the country. Now, the people behind the scenes of the movie have made very strong claims that it's not left, it's not right, it's not about Trump. This is just the story we wanted to tell. It's a cautionary tale. If we keep fighting each other, things can go south. And when asked on the red carpet about that, well, Nick Offerman, who's a liberal-leaning person in real life, he said, you know, we didn't want to go there. We wanted to keep it apolitical. We didn't want to choose sides. And he said almost literally, if we picked a team, if we made it more political and the ideology was more obvious, we'd lose half the audience, and we don't want to do that. And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, that's what Michael Jordan allegedly said. That's been the report over the years, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too. But it was rare to see an actor say that and to kind of hold that view. I thought it was refreshing and rare and maybe a sign that the industry is starting to understand you got to bring everyone to the table. You got to entertain everyone. And if you don't, you're not going to make as much money.
Yeah, you're out there hanging around with these people. It's a lot in your job, a lot more than I am for sure. What do you ever hear, at least off the record, where, say, in a case like this, where this Alan Ritchson says what he says, mm-hmm. have you ever heard where a producer or someone who's been, you know, the movie company, the company that put up the money for the movie, have you ever heard them say to somebody, boy, I wish that guy would shut up? Or like, I went to him and I begged him not to do this and he wouldn't do it. Or do they just accept it? In other words, if somebody paid me the kind of money that I'm sure they're paying this guy to do the movie, shouldn't I feel a little bit reluctant to trash the guy who's paying me? Because I don't know. And maybe he won't want to pay me again?
It's a great question. It's a frustrating question in part because the big stars, even the medium-sized stars, they've got press people. They've got representatives. They've got management. And I would imagine there's a back and forth with them about messaging, about, you know, how you want to shape the conversation, perhaps. And I think that Hollywood is such a bubble community that no one realizes that when he says things like that, it could be combustible. It could cause people offense. It could cause people to say, yeah, I may not go see that movie. That really kind of irks me. So I think that is out there. I will say the opposite. There's an example of the opposite happening. When Gina Carano from The Mandalorian was starting to speak freely mm-hmm. and was starting to say things that basically disrupted the liberal narrative, Disney approached her and said, can you please be quiet? We don't want you spreading these kind of conversations. And she said, no, I want to be who I want to be. And they fired her.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting example of just the opposite. But yeah, listen, if you're on Team Alan Ritchson and you read those interviews, you would think you'd call him up and say, listen, Alan, I know that's what you think, but you know, it could hurt the movie. It's not going to propel your career. Maybe just in the future, don't get into those divisive issues and just stick to, you know, I like the movie. It was interesting to make. I want to make more films like this. And you would think that would be PR number one.
Yeah, how about this? Yeah, how about this? How about, hey, Alan, listen, I know you want to get this stuff off your chest, but do me a favor. Could you give the movie like 2 weeks to be out before you say anything?
Yeah.
Or how about a one weekend? Could you wait till Monday to say something?
Well, you know, there's also a more cynical side to this conversation, and I don't dismiss it. In Hollywood, when the actors and stars, when they say things like this, when they share thoughts like this on social media, there's a way that they're doing it for their colleagues, for their peers, to mm-hmm. say, hey, I'm like you. I'm like-minded. Please hire me again for new movies.
Okay.
You know, we think alike. And the actor Nick Searcy told me that a while back, or maybe he told me directly that, maybe even mentioned it in conversations. I've met him a couple times. But there's the possibility, too, that this is a even, I think he's about 41 or so, but, you know, he's having a brush of fame and he doesn't know how to handle it, or he wants it to do well. And he thinks, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's who I'm supposed to reach out to connect with, to honor in a way. And so in doing that, he may be making it easier for him to get the next job immediately. But if his projects start to fail, if they don't make a lot of money again and again and again, that phone's going to stop ringing. It's just the way it goes. So, I mean, maybe you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, but I just don't see that as a positive step. Let your work speak for itself. Keep doing great projects, and I think your career will flower that way as opposed to anything else.
We're talking to Christian Toto of HollywoodandToto.com. He's also the author of Virtue Bombs, How Hollywood Got Woke and Lost Its Soul. You mentioned Gina Carano, what happened to her. She made some anti-liberal remarks, and someone called her from Disney and said, "Hey, can you cut that out?" She said, "No." Doesn't that really point to the stupidity that they understand that people saying certain things can affect the success of a movie? But to me, what you just said, that little story you told, is that it just shows what kind of a bubble they are living in, because they think it's okay for Alan Ritchson to trash half the audience, but it's not okay. But it's not okay for someone else to trash the other half. It's bad to trash either half.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about what Gina Carano said, it was often making a little fun at the hard left, which is it's a community. It's got some size for sure, but certainly not a massive group in the U.S. But what Ritchson did was make fun of Trump. He's got a huge following. Make fun of cops, and they've got there are many people either have cops in their families, or they just they care about police officers and know how hard the work that they do. He made fun of Christians for supporting Trump. Again, he's targeting pretty massive groups. And if you're going to make a movie and you want a whole bunch of people to see it, it's not what you do. And you know what he said wasn't so groundbreaking or important, or oh my gosh, I see things differently now that Alan said those things. I mean, it doesn't fall under any of those umbrellas. It's just, he's just, you know, weighing in with hot takes that will do his career no favors. It's just the way it is. And listen, if this was maybe 20 years ago and he said this, I think we'd all kind of roll our eyes or not care. But I think audiences are exhausted by this constant lecturing from Hollywood. And so when something like this happens now, it's in the context of that. And I think it lands worse for that reason.
Now, I was thinking about going to see the movie this weekend. I'm wondering now whether I'm going to. So it annoys me because I like movies and I still like going to movies, but I'm finding more and more people whose movies I don't want to see. And that makes it kind of, and there are enough bad ones out there that when someone makes one that looks like it appeals to me, I want to go see it. So it affects people like me. The Fraternal Order of Police, speaking of, he said, by the way, Alan Ritchson said, cops get away with murder all the time. That beyond being just a ridiculous, typical liberal thing to say, it's an unbelievably stupid thing to say because it's not true.
Yeah.
But the Fraternal Order of Police put out a great tweet that says something like, Alan gets his face and forehead powdered and hears pops from blanks fired at him. You know, we're kind of out there having real bullets shot at us. There aren't too many cops going to be showing up to see this movie.
Not only that, you know, you think about, again, context here. We've had 3+ years of defund the police mania.
Yep.
We've seen the results of it. You know, cities are now backtracking and figuring out, oh, gee, that may have been a horrible, terrible mistake. And, you know, and often it's people of color who are suffering the most from the increase in crime. Given that we've got so much crime and mayhem going on in cities across the country, and he says that now? I mean, there wasn't even a recent case, to my knowledge, where a cop acted badly or it's suspicious. I mean, listen, it does happen. There are bad cops, like bad any group or individual. You know, that just is what it is. And no one supports that, and no one wants that. But what he said wasn't sharp. It wasn't incisive. It was just blunt and dumb. It really was. As you said, So, you know, and then playing the victim, and, oh, how dare they say, you know, it just comes off badly.
It'd be nice to see somebody come out and say, listen, I'm making a lot of money for this movie, but I still hate the income tax, and I'm in favor of a national sales tax. Just once I'd like to see somebody come out with a statement like that.
Well, ironically, if he came out and said, listen, I love Trump. I think there should be a border wall.
Yeah.
I think that climate change is a hoax. Let me tell you, his representatives would be calling him in a nanosecond saying, listen, Alan, baby doll, you can't be doing that. I almost guarantee that.
Yeah.
So why can't he say that? You know, so
not because you're going to affect ticket sales, but you're going to make the producers and the people who are going to be hiring you for future projects. They won't like you anymore.
And, you know, and there will be some people who say, listen, I hate Trump and I don't want to go see this MAGA maniac. I mean, you know, the reverse would happen as well.
Yeah, what's interesting too, the Fraternal Order of Police came out and said, you know, and made fun of him, and this guy doubled down and he tried to tell the cops, the Fraternal Order of Police, in a tweet, I guess it was, he said he showed bravery by speaking out, so don't talk about his bravery. Like, and there's the other thing, it's stupid, Christian. What could be less brave than a Hollywood star coming out and making typical liberal stupid comments? Nothing is less brave than that. Requires less bravery.
Yeah. There's I couldn't even think of an example of a less brave action. So, you know, maybe it's just Hollywood gets to you. Maybe it's just the culture gets to you, and thinking you're the bee's knees when you're just a new star and you could be scrambling for work in 5 years. I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for actors. It's a brutal business. The competition is fierce.
Right.
There's a lot of negative things happening in Hollywood. I don't know if you know, there's a participant, I think it's Participant Media, was a pretty major studio. They were behind Green Book. They were behind Spotlight, Inconvenient Truth. They just shuttered. They just went down. There's a lot of bad things happening in Hollywood. The industry is in turmoil. There's panic going on behind the scenes. And to kind of understand that I'm a working actor getting great gigs and just to kind of treat it in such a cavalier fashion, it's not smart.
No. There's a lot of that going around out there, Christian, and you're wading around in it, and that's why we like to have you come on and talk about it. I appreciate you coming on, as usual.
My pleasure.
Okay, that's Christian Toto. You can find him at HollywoodandToto.com, and his book is Virtue Bombs, How Hollywood Got Woke and Lost Its Soul. I'll be right back. One thing we haven't had around here, at least it doesn't seem like we have, at least not a big deal has been made of it if it has happened, but there haven't been a lot of demonstrations for one cause or another, usually liberal and stupid causes, but causes that and demonstrations that cause traffic to be stopped, roads to be blocked, bridges to be blocked. And a couple of days ago, Monday and Tuesday, I think you saw lots of examples of that at various parts of the country, blocking bridges, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. There's a story out of San Francisco now that they have arrested 38 people and that the district attorney there is actually asking people who may have been inconvenienced to come forward with their stories because she wants to, the DA does, she wants to prosecute these people. So it could be that they're getting fed up with it because, you know, maybe they're starting to figure out, wait a minute, if we let liberals block the Golden State Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, and don't do anything about it, then what if conservatives would come up with a cause and do the same thing? And what are we going to do about that? So, you know, the demonstrations, the First Amendment doesn't give you the right to block a bridge or, you know, block a tunnel or block a road, do anything like that. But Wilford C. Riley, who's a guy who's been on the show a few times, he's a professor, a political science professor at Kentucky State University. And he's kind of a wild man, and I follow him on Twitter, X. He posted a couple of days ago that what people should do is get out of the car, beat the crap out of them, drag them off the road, and throw them in the river. That's what he said they should do. And I hate to say it. Well, I don't hate to say it, but I'm kind of with Wilford on this. And it's not if it's, you know, if it's a little bit inconvenient, you got to drive around them, that's one thing. But what are you supposed to do if your wife is in labor and you're four cars behind the person who's being blocked by the person who won't move? I think it's time for somebody to be run over. That's just me. Maybe that makes me a bad guy, but that's what I think should happen. Sorry. Talk to you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.